Coming up on TMS, throwing out your cool stuff is hard.
That's a terrible boat name.
Xbox gets sexy.
Force Awakens is leaky.
Florida Man banned.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Did you finish your homework?
No, I didn't.
What? It's after midnight.
Now I can become part of that fashion trend that's so popular with today's young people.
This is The Morning Stream. Behave yourselves.
Oh my gosh. The dance Brian's doing right now is something that needs to be seen by not just me.
Woo!
That was awesome. Hey, what's going on?
Did you like the overbite too? If you're gonna do a dance like that, you gotta do the overbite.
Yeah, that was all right. For some reason, my camera just went really dark, and I don't know why. I apologize, everyone. Let's see if we can fix that. All right, appears to not care. Oh, there it is. Okay, it's back. Hey, everybody, it's the Morning Stream. It's Scott Johnson. It's Brian Ibbett, and it's freaking Wednesday, is it? Yeah, 23rd of March, 2016. March is almost freaking done. Think of that. Remember at the beginning of the month when I went to Mexico?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that nice?
That was forever ago.
Yeah.
Like, time has come and gone. Double the time that I was gone has come and gone since I've been here. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, sir. No, I don't. All right, I got to share something, Brian.
Okay, share away.
This is breaking news.
Ooh.
So I just got this. Well, I got this, but it's breaking news to the show.
Hold on. This just handed to you?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. This just handed to me. Now I'll pass over here. Hold on. I only have a post-it note. It's not very good Foley work.
It really got smaller as it went through Skype.
It really did. So
like Mike TV and Willy Wonka.
So I sent myself this link because it needs to be played. Now, the deal is, I don't want to get in too much detail here. Let me pause this so we don't have to hear it all loud.
Wow. All right.
Okay, quiet. Ted Cruz, quiet. Okay. Here's the deal. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump have been going at each other on Twitter. And,
sure.
On
Twitter, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it started, well, I may as well just give you the background on it. Here, let me find the thing. Because it's better to read the original tweet and then his response, which was this. All right, so we got, hold on here, Scott. What you doing? What you get going here? Okay, there's Scott Johnson's name. So, all right, here's his tweets. All right, he says this. Okay, here we go. Oh, no, but this is really good radio. I know it. Okay, here it is. Donald Trump tweeted last night, Lion Ted Cruz, meaning lying Ted Cruz,
right,
the guy
right.
who lies. Yeah. Lion Ted Cruz just used a picture of Melania. Is that his wife?
Yes.
All right, great.
Just melanoma.
Melanoma. Lying Ted Cruz just used a picture of Melania. I did it again. What is it?
Melania.
From GQ magazine shoot in his ad. Be careful, Lion Ted, or I will spill the beans on your wife. Okay. Actual quote, actual tweet, didn't make that up, all right?
Right. Now, and what that means, though, Donald Trump really doesn't have anything on Mrs. Cruz.
Yeah.
He's just going to go to her house and dump a can of Hormel chili on her.
I love that idea.
Love that visual.
Yeah, it's good.
And I pour great beans.
Yeah, they're terrific. These beans are
not
terrific.
Not a big fan of Bush's beans. I think it's obvious why. Low energy. Not a fan.
So Ted Cruz fired back and said, I didn't use that in our ads. That's a super PAC. And if you're going after my wife, you're a bigger coward than I thought. So basically they're having like WWE freaking pre-match wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrestling. All right. So all this is going down. Then,
brother.
Now the best part, you can't make this stuff up. Like this entire process, which I'm trying to keep a smile on my face throughout. Okay. I'm trying to keep the upper hand here. You couldn't write this stuff. It's so good. You can't make it up. So here, Brian, for you, is a televised response from Ted Cruz on live CNN explaining this thing. And then now I want you to hear it and tell me if it sounds a little familiar. Okay? So here you go.
And if Donald wants to get in a character fight, he's better off sticking with me because Heidi is way out of his league.
You want a character to debate Bob, you better stick with me.
because Sidney Ellen Wade is way out of your league.
Does that sound familiar to you at all?
What's that from? That's Michael Douglas, but what's the, is that from Wall Street?
No, from The American President.
Oh, American President. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's too close to be a coincidence. There's no way that Ted Cruz isn't a giant fan of The American President movie, and he memorized that line, and he freaking used it, whether he meant to or not.
That is crazy.
In reference to his wife, Heidi. I think that is the funniest thing to happen in weeks. For some reason, that is really funny to me. That it's that dead on. Now, I understand if it was like sort of like it or kind of, you know, vaguely reminiscent. Yeah. It's not. It's the dead on quote, basically, with different people's names involved. It's freaking
crazy.
Hilarious.
That is totally crazy.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of that. Anyway, back to the real world. Back off the, we're no more breaking news. Now we're on to the broken news. Okay. Do you ever do this? Because now I look at your video there and I see a lot of here chat room. Look at Brian all big. Yeah. You can see all the stuff he's got. He's got many items, little trinkety things, lots of nerd business. Appears that his sex doll has a face hugger on it right now.
Yep, just added that last night.
Yeah.
When I was cleaning up the basement, I'm like, oh, face hugger. Let's put that on the sex doll.
Yep. I see AT-ATs. I see Vectrexes. I see a full blown.
See my Battlestar Galactica gun over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty nerdy, really. Everything back there, even the cat when he's there licking his junk, her junk is nerdy. Yeah. Yeah. So the reason I bring all that up is because I'm guessing you're like me. You've got a bunch of collected nerd stuff. And when it comes time to clean out some old boxes, make some room in some storage areas, suddenly you are faced with the decision. And when I went in there, I went, oh, this will be no problem. I know I there's tons of things in there I haven't touched in ages. I don't need it.
Right.
For example, here's an exact size and shape, perfect size and replica of a Wiimote that I bought in 2006, but inside were a bunch of mints.
Oh, yeah, it was a little candy tin, Wiimote candy tin.
Yeah, and this one was actual size, which I thought was really cool, and it was licensed by Nintendo, and so I bought it. I ate all the mints in it, and then I kept the case because I thought that'll be a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that since 2006. I haven't pulled it out. I haven't looked at it. I haven't needed it.
You're like, oh, I could store some earbuds in here.
Yep. The minute I pulled it out, and Kim's down there watching me, and she knows I'm like my dad. I'm kind of a pack rat. I pull it out, and I go, ooh, I got to keep this. And she's like, how are you keeping that? It's a mint thing. I'm like, no, but it's in the shape of a Wii. She goes, yeah, but that's stupid. I said, but she goes, I can buy another one. And I'm like, no, they only made them when the Wii was a thing. You don't just go buy Wii mints today.
Right.
That's a dead and gone console. Nobody cares now. This is a limited time. You know, I'm making all these arguments to my wife in vain about that. And then there's a ton of other stuff like that. And I have a cable problem where I keep cables until there's absolutely nothing they'll plug into.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? I still have a bunch of those. Yeah, I mean, the crap behind me is more like, if we weren't doing TMS, it'd probably be a lot cleaner. It's like, I think that people would probably get bored looking at my ugly mug. And it's like, all right, well, give us something in the background that we can at least look at.
Yeah, let me stare at an AT-AT for a while. No, I'm with you. Exactly. I'm with you on that. And also, I mean, it provides you've got a very TGI Fridays kind of thing going on.
Right? It's like, yes, the TGI comic store basically is what this is.
Yeah, and I like that. And I'm a fan of all of this. And so the problem is we're trying to decide whether we're putting a bathroom in the basement or not, because we have an unfinished room in there that it would go in. And
do you have plumbing for that already in there?
We do. It's all plumbed,
okay,
ready to go.
As long as it's blocked in, oh my God, because trying to add something like that, if it's not
locked in, I wouldn't even do it. Forget it. I wouldn't even go near that. But because that's all done and there's pipes just sitting there ready to roll, it kind of makes sense to eventually do it and, you know, have a third bathroom in the house. So, and we can do it on the cheap, you know, tile floor and walls and do the, you know, the tub, the big insert type tub. If we want to put a tub in there at all, we don't even have to. It could just be a toilet and sink. We don't know. We're thinking all these things through. She's already kiboshed my idea of making it a prison toilet. That was my original plan.
Just a metal toilet, no lid.
Yep. It was going to be a metal toilet, no lid. It was going to have a wall with scrawled letter, or, you know, like lines with the five lines with the one cross through it, like how many days you've been here.
Right.
I was going to put
Orange is the new Scott, basically.
I was going to put a Raquel Welch poster up in the other side with a little hole in it.
A little pebble hole.
A little pebble hole in there. I had all kinds of plans for that, and I've been shut down on that. Nobody
Darn. Wow.
Her thinking. Now, get this. Her thinking is, nobody visiting or guesting here at the house would want to use the prison toilet. That's her thinking.
Yeah. Right.
I think she might be.
I think she's right.
I think she is too. But yeah. Anyway, we've had that fight. We're done with that. Not fight, but we've come to a conclusion that I'm probably not going to get what I want there. But the other problem was that all this stuff's in there right now. There's all these boxes and things and I know I need to get rid of a ton of it. And a ton of it is just not worth anything. Nobody needs GameCube RGB cables. Mm-hmm. Those aren't good for anything, including the GameCube I no longer own. But there they are, right? So right. I'm having a hard time. This is a rough go. My goal is by Saturday to have a big portion of that stuff out and either given to Goodwill or some sort of equivalent, and maybe find something cool that I could eBay. But for the most part, it's all going to go trash. Mm-hmm. Wherever doesn't make sense to keep. But like remember the old Twinkie, the hard Twinkie.
Oh, yeah, 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 right. That you kept in your drawer and would bang on the desk every once in a while.
I'm keeping that. And she's
remember that from ELR days,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, that thing's old. That Twinkie is something like 10 years old.
I think you sign that and give it away at the next Nerdtacular. or you go whole hog. Instead of just keeping it, here's the problem. Yeah. Is we do this where we keep a lot of stuff, and it's like, but it sits in a drawer, it sits on a shelf. That Twinkie belongs in a museum, Dad. I mean, it does belong. Like, go to a Container Store, get a shadow box, frame shadow box that small.
Yeah.
And mount the Twinkie in there.
Okay. I like
and
that.
And just say,
my podcasting
and have a little,
Twinkie.
Oh, yeah, here you go. Go the whole nine yards.
Okay.
Get a little metal plaque made at whatever Things Remembered or wherever you get one of those made and put Twinkie, EST 1997 or whenever it was that.
I think it's circa 03 or 04.
Okay.
When I opened it. And then it sat in the open air and then became a hard thing that has never degraded or gone away. It's never, what's the word? It's never decomposed. It's just stayed exactly. If you looked at it on a table, you go, Twinkie. And then you grab it and realize how rock hard it is.
Exactly. Right. See, and that's the thing. We're right. You're right in the middle of the two extremes that one of them needs to happen.
Yeah.
To the left is throw it away land.
Yeah.
Right is fully embrace that Twinkie, showcase it like the piece of art that it is.
I'm not giving it up either way.
Yeah. I think, and that's probably what needs to happen with a lot of this stuff. Like I've had dreams of doing this whole background thing behind me without the bookcases, but having the shelves made. Like if you look at, the Mental Floss YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great trivia channel. Mm-hmm. And they've got this amazing wall with all these little, each thing has its own little compartment in that wall, and it's perfect.
Sounds great.
Problem is that, you know, if I get something new, like a little Deadpool statue,
yeah.
I'll have to say, all right, it'll fit in this spot, which means I've got to move my Cookie Monster ashtray or something.
Well,
like
yeah,
that,
you so. Can only fit so many marbles in the straw before a marble pops out the other end. Right?
That's right.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. My straw is a little bit full, so I've got to make some hard calls and
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll, like what you've said about the Twinkie actually makes a bunch of sense, and I could actually probably sell that idea.
Oh, I think Kim would be, you know what, if you're going to do that with it,
yeah.
I bet she'd say she's fully on board.
Totally, totally. And there's got to be, like I found some old Nerdtacular 2011 swag bags that has everything in them that they came with, and I forgot I had them.
Uh-huh.
So those I'll probably give away.
Yeah, those are good giveaway stuff. Yeah, sure. For sure.
I found a box.
I have a drawer, basically, anytime I get a loot crate.
Yeah.
I have a drawer where I put all the crap that I don't really care about, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff or Transformers stuff or whatever. And I only save about probably half of the stuff out of a loot crate, but I keep the other stuff as like, this is great giveaway stuff for the Coverthon or for Coverville or whatever. So
sure. I've got a box of Norwegian CDs that Rob Gabers sent me.
What is it, all Aha?
I don't know what all this stuff is. It's all weird bands like, you know, Unterglieben and like five tracks of like weird spacey music. It's all very weird. But I feel like I should be giving those away. I forgot I even had them.
Yeah.
Like, So hey, guess what, TMS? You're going to end up being kind of a dumping ground for some rad prizes coming up, I can tell you that.
There we go. You and I will both. And you know what? I will throw in today.
Yeah.
Just because it's timely.
What you got there?
A Batman Superman wallet.
Oh, look at this.
It's got Superman on one side with the Batman logo all over his face. And then
Superman on the other.
Exactly.
Where'd you get that? That's the new
thing. This came in the Loot Crate today.
Oh, okay.
Or yesterday.
All right. Boy, the reviews for that movie are...
Oh, no, really?
Well,
does it look like it's going to fall more on the underside of the over-under?
There's a guy on Twitter I had a little argument with yesterday. I'm not sure. I think he's mad at me. He shouldn't be. I was just trying to have a conversation. But he thinks any kind of aggregate tools on the internet are all full of crap and that reviewers are all lying. And I think that he has a point about, you know, you probably should look for a more nuanced approach to various things and not just look at a single number. But I read reviews, too. I look at those who I trust and... who I generally agree with, and when they hate something, it's usually going to be a pretty good chance that I'm not going to like it.
Right.
Or they'll bring up points about it that I would end up agreeing with. But regardless, I'm seeing this movie on Thursday, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to judge for myself. But it's sitting around 41% or so. That's not great.
Wow, that isn't great. No,
that's lower than the 56 that the original hit.
What are people's biggest complaints about it?
All the things we worried about. one in particular. I won't say what it is because I don't want to spoil it.
Does it rhyme with Schmen Schmaffleck?
No, actually, he's one of the least problems.
Oh, good. Okay. He was the thing I was most worried about. I was wondering, all right, is he going to be able to pull off both the Bruce Wayne and the Batman?
I'll say it rhymes with Mex Pluther.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, Mex Pluther.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Lex Zuckerberg, yeah. Basically.
An actor I quite enjoy, but not sure how this works.
I'm starting to wonder if if Jesse Eisenberg is able to play other characters.
You think he's just a one-off?
You know, look at Zombieland. You look at
even Zuckerberg, kind of the same guy.
Yeah, Social Network.
He's just kind of that.
Especially the one with the magicians. Now You See Me.
Oh,
same character.
Never saw that.
It's actually pretty
good.
Is
it all right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's got your Ruffalo in it.
There's something I like about him, but I don't know why. I do like Ruffalo. He's the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Hulkmeister. And he likes Bernie Sanders. He's feeling the burn. a quick local politics report. Utah voted for Cruz and Sanders.
Yeah.
Those are the two that won. It doesn't surprise me. Not a
way
lot
to
of love.
Buck the U.S. trend, Utah.
Not a lot of love here for Hillary or Trump,
or
Dunn, so
yeah.
Not that surprised.
Trump.
And I don't even think Hillary like rallied here. I think she just like snubbed it. So she probably just knew that she was going to get no love here. And in Arizona, you got your Trump and you got your Hillary there. So they did their normal thing down there. And then I forgot the other. Oh, Idaho got Sanders and Trump, I believe. And I forgot the rest. Anyway,
but because of the Cruz upset in Utah, I don't think he doesn't have enough delegates to secure anything.
Yep, which is great because for once in the history of this great nation, Utah had something to say in the caucuses.
Utah was important.
It actually mattered in the caucuses somehow, some way. We actually had some reason to exist. And my video's frozen, and I don't know why it's frozen. All right, let's...
Do you want to build a snowman?
I'll fix that in a second. Let's call Daryl and get at least this part rolling, and then we'll move
sure.
on.
Sure.
We'll move on from here. I like your hat, by the way. I think it's suits you. I think you should wear more skull caps. I think they're
okay.
Cool.
You know, then this one flips around on the other side. On the inside, it's Daredevil.
Oh, no so way.
Yeah.
Also, this is also probably a Loot Crate thing.
It is also a Loot Crate thing that came in the box yesterday.
We're getting Nick the Loot Crate, or at least... thinking about it. You
yeah.
think that's a good thing for a kid to get? Do you think
it's a very good thing. Let's talk after the show because I have a coupon code.
Oh, good. We'll save some money.
Yep.
At lootcrate.com.
All right. I don't know why I'm keeping it a secret. It's lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up.
Giant size team up? Sized or size?
No, no D. Giant size team up.
Oh, all right. Well, giant sized giant size T shmup. Here's this.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
It's so into this music now. It's Daryl. It's Stump Daryl. Daryl, the trivia nerd on the show right now. Daryl, hi.
It hasn't proven to be a good title yet.
No, it's not rolling off my tongue yet. But it's, you know what it is. It's just this crazy force of habit. We did that so long that it's hard for me to come up with a new way of saying
we
it.
We can still call him the Trek nerd.
Yeah,
but you know, this,
yeah,
because
that's
is
what
all
I
about.
Am.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true. Also on the line, we have a caller. Who's this?
Hey, it's Michael Dice Tomato from Trivia Geeks. What's going on?
Dice Tomato. Dicing them tomatoes, son.
Creator of the TMS bingo card.
Mm-hmm. This is all true.
Yep.
It's good to have you on, man.
It belongs in the museum today, too.
Well, you did. Well, good.
That's a good addition, yeah.
That was a long time coming.
Let's take off shitty brand impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Okay, I'll get that done for you.
I kind of like that one. I'm not going to lie.
The fun thing about that one is that it goes two ways.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, no, I agree.
It's true. It's an impersonation of a shitty person or...
or someone doing a shitty version of Brian, right? Which I don't know how to do, Brian. Anyway, that's good to have you on, man.
All right, I'll keep it. All right.
So here's how it works. Daryl here gets on the show and answers a trivia question that we're about to present to him. But before we do that, Brian explains the rules to, in this case, Dice Tomato, so he understands how this goes. So how does it work?
Even before that, I'm going to tell you that Stump Daryl today is brought to you by Coverville, where today we celebrate the birthdays of two very, very different artists. Wilson Pickett, who we know from songs like Midnight Hour and Mustang Sally and... Land of a Thousand Dances. Yep, very good. And Lady Gaga, who we know from songs like, I don't know, Bad Romance, something else. I'm sure she's done other things. We'll
poker
figure
face!
Him out.
My poker face!
Exactly. So celebrating both of those birthdays today on Coverville. Today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Right here at coverville.com/live.
Fantastic. Explain to my Dice Tomato how he could win. Oh, I'll tell you what he could win today, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Three things. A wallet from Brian.
Mm-hmm.
A copy of the Steam, a Steam code for a copy of Contagion on Steam, absolutely for free. Mm-hmm. And one of these weird Norwegian CDs.
Oh, cool. Look at that. See? Yeah. You're helping Scott clean out his closet.
Yep. I'll send you one of those, buddy.
Here's what we should do. We should totally be increasing the prizes every day until somebody wins it.
Yeah, until somebody wins one of the ones that... Yes! I kind of like that.
So the prize package gets bigger and bigger and bigger somebody wins it.
What wallet is that?
It's like a lottery.
His wallet is a Batman versus Superman wallet he just got in a loot crate.
Who would want that? Give that one away.
Well, it might be the... it could end up being the best thing about that movie, you know? The wallets it's they true. Gave out. Who knows?
There might even maybe there's
that paper
a
wallet.
I haven't even opened it up. There
that
might
paper wallet is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, there might actually be a Wonder Woman thing in here, and I don't know because I haven't even opened it up.
Oh, I always want a thing that might have a Wonder Woman thing in it. Oh, there's not.
I take it you get Loot Crate as well.
Yeah,
I got it yesterday.
He already diced that tomato. All right, let's tell him the rules. Sorry, I keep jumping around.
So, Dice Tomato, you are going to predict whether or not Daryl is going to get the question right based on just hearing a category. If your prediction matches Daryl's success or failure rate, you win these prizes. So let me tell you, today the category is Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Donkey Kong.
Daryl, you like Donkey Kong, yeah?
Yeah, who doesn't?
We know all the sounds. You know when we have a trivia nerd on when he can do it right along with us. All right, so Daryl, here's your question. The Mario, you know Mario, he's the deal. He made his first appearance in the arcade game Donkey Kong. However,
wait, am I supposed to?
Oh yeah, tell us, tell us.
You're supposed to guess the prediction first.
Yes, sorry, yes.
Scott almost has this thing.
Take a couple more weeks.
Even from just what I heard, from what little of the question you were starting to go with, I'm thinking Daryl's going to get this one right.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. That's a vote of confidence in your direction, right to the Pacific Northwest. Just right up there.
Right up the tree.
Right up the tree.
What's the 80-foot sequoia?
What's going on with that guy? There's a guy
still up there.
There's a guy in Seattle who's up in a tree, and the police are trying to talk him down, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's throwing apples at people at the very beginning, and then he ran out of apples.
That'll happen in a tree, you know? There's only so many apples. You neither take apples nor leave apples when you're in that tree. So hold on a second, though.
Can you be charged with assault with a deadly weapon for an apple?
Maybe.
Is it drive-by fruiting?
So wait a minute, though. We don't know why he's up there. We don't know motive or anything. What the deal is?
As far as I know.
All right. I'm curious about that. And all the horrible news lately, it'd be nice to... I want this one to be funny. Oh, I need some good, funny news. Hey, we'll have some of that later. Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah.
All right, Daryl, here's your question. He thinks you're going to get it right. Mario made his first appearance in the Donkey Kong game, the arcade game known as Donkey Kong. Nintendo made that. However, he was not known as Mario initially. What name was used for him originally? Here are your four options. A, Plumber Man. B, Jump Man. C, Hammer Man. Or D, Carpenter Man. So Plumber Man, Jump Man, Hammer Man, or Carpenter Man. Those are your options.
Yeah, Mario couldn't touch that.
That's right. Oh, Brian, did you get your sticks?
Oh, I did get my sticks. Yeah,
Let's do our sticks.
I know, this is hilarious because so yesterday I'm texting back and forth with Daryl and Scott, and I send them a picture of something I find on Amazon saying, all right, is this what you guys got? Because I don't want to make this guy, you know, send me another one. And he even messaged me in Slack saying, oh, I feel so bad that you haven't gotten it. I'm going to send you another one. Yeah. And so I have a package of these coming from Amazon.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, delivered by the mail, is the actual one. Just after I get an email from Amazon saying, your Papadopoulos caprices are shipping.
Wow, great. Perfect timing, mail. Good job, mail.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Oh, now I got to find the letter. Where did I put
that? Oh, the card?
Yeah, do you have the card handy?
I do. Mine probably says something very similar to yours, but
Dear
Brian, my name is Andreas Tsiapas, a.k.a. Taurus the Dev. Thank you very much for TMS in Coverville. You're doing an amazing job in keeping us all happy and entertained. Keep up.
Yeah.
I think he just means keep it up. I don't think he means I'm falling behind.
I don't want to give anything away here, but we may be in talks. Well, that Dev part of his name.
Yeah. Is he your guy?
Maybe there's something there going.
Good deal. Because I think he did write a little trivia tool for us.
Yeah. He's got ideas. He has things to say and do. All right. So here we go. Let's try this thing.
This is cool because I have one of these awesome sealed tops.
Yeah.
Is there a medal on your card on the front?
No.
Oh, mine
has a typewriter that says, thank you, you're the best.
Mine has a medal on the front that says, you deserve a medal. And on part of the message on the inside says, why the medal? Well, I have never seen anyone in my life been hung up on Skype so many times and keep cool.
Wow. You think he keeps cool? I think that...
it's not so cool. All right. So these look like those dark cigarettes you'd see in movies once in a while.
I'm going to open this right in the microphone. Ready?
Do those have a name?
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, I
that
did. That was awesome. Sounded like you farted on it. It was terrible.
Oh, interesting.
Looks kind of black and mild there.
Yeah. Doesn't that look like a... Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like someone will smoke like a dirty cigarette, like a brown...
Like a Swisher Sweets.
Yeah. I've never understood those. They're like filterless. It's like a cowboy would do it.
Exactly. Like this is what Castro's chomping on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try and pull one out and it just crumbles to dust in your fingers. Here
they're very delicate. Delicate fingers of nature.
Smelling it like a cigar.
Like a little McCree cigar.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like McCree. Oh my gosh, we played that game last night. The new map is so cool. Anyway, I won't talk about that now.
I haven't gotten there yet. I need to pull it up and find that out tonight.
Oh, it's so freaking good. And the new skins are insane. I cannot earn... Oh, I can't earn them fast enough. They're so cool. Anyway, all right. Here it is. Let's eat it. Daryl, you got yours, right?
Yeah, you break them in half and they crumble and flake.
Yeah.
Like a flaky croissant thing.
Kellogg's, crumble and flakes. Well, this isn't bad.
These are lovely.
These are all right.
I'll have these done.
I feel left out.
I'll have these done. Hey, you know, maybe I could redirect my Amazon shipment right over to you, Destiny.
Yeah, send that right over. These would be good with like a chai tea.
They'd be good with anything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Do not look like the front, though.
No.
I just had a nice chai latte this morning.
I would only eat them orally, though. I just want to throw that out there. All right, Daryl.
Wait a minute. Well, never mind. All right.
Do you want to try to answer this thing? Again, I'll give you your answers. Plumber Man, Jump Man, Hammer Man, Carpenter Man.
Come on, Daryl. I know you can do it.
Well, that's kind of foolish of you, but I'll do my best.
All right.
Plumber Man seems too obvious. And Jump Man, there already was a Jump Man. I like that Jumpman game.
Yeah, Jumpman's fun.
Carpenter Man, though. Hammer Man. Plumber Man. If I were to guess, which I will, I would say Hammerman.
All right. Well, let's find out if you're right, if it's Hammerman or not. Is it?
Don't hurt him, Hammerman.
Yeah, don't hurt him, Hammerman. Break it down. All right, here it goes. Here it is. Is it? Is it that? Wait, where, why can't I find it? Here it is. Oh! Oh, incorrect. The answer is Jumpman.
Oh, yeah. What?
He was originally known as Jumpman. He became known as Mario in the sequel Donkey Kong Jr.
Was I playing Jumpman? Was I playing the original Mario and I didn't even know it?
Yeah, I think you were.
Yes.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. And did you know this? So here's how I knew it. My dad was in the arcade business. He used to own arcades and buy. We'd have big stand-up and sit-down arcade machines show up at the house from a big truck all the time. And he would work on them there before he'd take them to the arcades. And one of them was a cocktail sit-down version, like for a bar or whatever, of Donkey Kong. And right there on the side of each of both sides of the screen on the table thing that this thing was built into, mm-hmm. they had instructions. And it was all like, help Jumpman get to the princess.
Right.
Jumpman this and that. So
it was all in poorly kerned Helvetica.
Yeah, real bad. Really, really badly kerned. Oh, they didn't know what kerning meant back
no,
then.
No, they really don't. Yeah, yeah.
That's real shitty. But anyway, Dice Tomato, your tomato has been officially diced.
Aww.
And I didn't mean to cut him off. I did, though.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to. He's lost twice now. Actually, well, whatever. It's unceremonious. I make no apologies for it.
Sure.
Daryl, good job. You've disappointed another listener with your incorrect answer. That's fine, because tomorrow you get to try it again, and we'll have a prize package that'll be insane. And Brian, the way we should do this is each week it stacks. So like Monday, single prize. Tuesday, two of them if they don't get it. It's Thursday or Wednesday, three if they don't get it. And by Thursday, if someone finally gets it Thursday, they win four prizes of some sort.
Right, but so if nobody gets it Thursday, then we're just throwing those prizes out and starting over on Monday?
We just reset, and then Monday... Well, I don't know.
Oh, that's no fair because somebody, you know, like Monday, you're only ever going to get one prize. No, I say we just keep it stacking.
Okay, we'll keep it stacking. I can do that. Okay, because that's like, what's that like? There's like game shows where the bank.
Well, there's radio stations that do that. And I won $4,000 on a radio station because it had stacked over time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The most I've ever won on a radio station. It was for one of these song clip deals. And they were adding... I want to say they were adding $1,000 to it every day. And there was like little snippets of songs like, right. And you had to identify the songs they pulled those out of.
Okay.
And this was before YouTube. This was before internet. But what I did is I recorded it and then I broke each little segment out and I listened to it in a loop over and over and over until I figured out what all six songs were and then called in and won $4,000.
And how quick did you have to be? Was it right after the call?
You had to be the 106th caller because it was one of those.
Oh, my gosh.
It was on 106. Yeah. So and this was back in the office days when I was in an office with a bunch of people who didn't give a shit. So we would all we would all hop on the phones and just call until one of us got through and then just yell over the cubicles, "Hey, Brian, I'm through. Pick up line 6.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know what we're talking about, here's an example.
I think Circulation can give me those preprint figures. I'll check with them and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's
exactly the company. Days. Yep.
Yep. There's another one.
The new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I can use your phone.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh,
it's good.
So
it's
skinny.
Good to be reminded, Brian. It's good to be reminded.
I know.
All
so
right.
Skinny back then.
Daryl.
I also won something from a radio station.
Oh, what'd you get? What'd you get?
An old push lawnmower that goes cha 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 when you push it.
Really? That sounds like Scott giving away stuff that they found in the back of the...
Yeah, it does. It does a little bit. So it was a push one. There's no motor. It's just a push one.
Right.
Oh, that's terrible.
With the blades that are
was that
spirally.
Like a consolation prize?
Yeah.
That was the prize.
That was
you
the
could
prize.
Win a new lawnmower. Oh yeah, I did. But
did they not say
it?
What kind of? Did they?
No.
Did they not describe it before?
No.
A new lawnmower. Here you go. It's brand new.
That's like you know what? I'd take the $4,000 is what I would have done.
Yeah.
I would have been that. Well, here's a clip of Daryl being asked the trivia question way back then. Who won the mower? Here it is.
I have no idea.
Okay, great. Let's. Let's be done. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter as the Trek Nerd, also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And I'm hanging up on him now. Okay, there he goes.
Well done.
He's out. Okay. Well,
right,
we've done all we can do there. There's nothing else to be done there. Let's do this now.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Tune in to CamcorderTV.com in April for the premiere of a new episode of Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright. This episode will star TMS's Scott Johnson as Lieutenant Jankowski, head of the homicide squad at Animus Forks PD. A gruesome murder has taken place in the Animus River. Was it the victim's boyfriend, or is there something far more monstrous lurking beneath in Must Be Something in the Water? Log on to CamcorderTV.com next month for the full episode. Camcorder TV, humble beginnings, big ideas.
Speaking of which, I gotta get those lines done.
So do you know who did it? Do you know?
I don't know, but that's
the... But you're like the head of the homicide squad.
But that's the fourth squad car you've blown up this week. I want
your gun and your badge.
Yeah, I want your gun and badge by four. See? I'm ready. I'm got it.
You are ready. You totally got it.
Yeah, this is easy.
Just record it right here while we're doing the show.
Here is my favorite article of the week. Many people have been posting it both on the Slack, the Reddit, and other places, and waiting for me to finally bite the worm and put it up here.
Excellent. Okay.
Bite the worm. Bodie McBoatface won a public vote for the new naming of a 200 million euro research vessel.
Did you submit? Did you submit the name?
No, but I love it.
It certainly sounds like something you came up with.
It does, but I freaking love it. And I'm telling you, if you're gonna crowdsource big important things, just think, make sure you're ready for what the crowd does sometimes. Because
right. Oh my God, yes,
Bodie McBoatface, man, like that's gnarly. Anyway, the official name of the new multi-million pound, or this pounds, not euros, sorry, research vessel could be the RSS or the RRS, the RSS. The RRS Bodie McBoatface, after the internet was asked for its ideas, when the Natural Environment Research Council, or NERC, it's like nerds and narcs mixed up, opened up suggestions to name their ship. Little could they have predicted what the front runner would be. Well, I don't know, dude. Again, you ask the internet, what'd you expect?
Right. These are the same people that that do the presidential write-in ballot names for like D's Nuts and So Long Felicia or whatever it is.
Yep. Mike Hunt. That guy, right, he's always on there.
Well done.
I had to say it slowly. Here's the deals. This outstripped other names like the Endeavor, the Henry Worsley, the David Attenborough, the Falcon, and many, many more.
Right. So, actually decent names. Well, yep.
Here's my favorite. Some other tongue-in-cheek submissions include, it's bloody cold out here. Usain Bolt. The Ice Baby, and not the Titanic. Oh, that's
not
pretty good.
Titanic.
One word, yeah. Not the Titanic. $200 million polar research vessel will be operational in 2019, set to sail the waters of Antarctica and the Arctic, carrying a team of 90 scientists and support staff. It's actually kind of rad what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But now they got to call it Bodie McBoatface.
Always got to put a clause in there, at our discretion or something like that. Yeah. Always.
I hope they did. If they didn't, here's what I hope they do, Ryan. I hope that they put the name on there.
Yeah.
And then halfway out to the Antarctica, where nobody else is around and no one can tell, they just swap it out.
They just peel like this label off, right? Yeah. And underneath it is a different name.
Yeah. Somebody get the Attenborough sign. We're far enough away, no cameras can see. That's what I would do.
Bodie McBoatface.
Pretty great.
I want that to be a cartoon series too. The Adventures of Bodie McBoatface.
It's pretty great. Microsoft. Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
They're a small operation.
I think they only, they do that Xbox and that's about it, right?
Yeah, they've never been known for anything else. They're just a small little...
Oh, Clippy. Xbox
Clippy,
and Clippy.
Right, Clippy. Oh, and Bob. And Bob. Don't forget Bob.
Microsoft Bob.
Yep. Bob was the original Siri. The original... Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Watch this.
How far we've come.
Watch this. I'm going to piss a bunch of people off. Okay, Siri. No, no.
No, no, no. It's Siri.
Hey, Siri. Okay, Google. Alexa. Cortana.
All of you talk.
All of you talk at once.
Have a conversation.
I hope that went off for a bunch of people. Let me know if it did. Anyway, Microsoft is in trouble. They were trying to bring a little sexiness to Xbox and got people mad. Or some people are happy about it. Anyway, Microsoft and Xbox are popular enough amongst gamers, but their latest stunt brought sex-starved gamers a real treat. The company was forced to apologize after throwing a raging party. That featured scantily clad women and probably some video games, it says here. If it sounds like a good time, you're right. However, some people out there hate fun, so decided to crack down on the get-together. The Xbox party took place in San Francisco on Thursday night, and all reports say it was one for the books. This is all during the Game Developers Conference. Mm-hmm. And as we know, those nerds can party, man.
Yeah, they can throw down like anybody.
Oh, they let loose. Conveniently just hours after Microsoft held a networking lunch for women in the industry, the party popped off. Critics say Microsoft's Xbox party was a bit hypocritical after focusing their South by Southwest conference on online harassment just a week earlier. Word got out rapidly as photos of the event showed some sex-related shenanigans, scantily clad women floating amongst a sea of gamers and employees. The tech industry had been trying to be more inclusive of women, but this episode of Sex Appeal hardly supports that notion.
Whoops.
It's a little contrary to their current movement.
It's funny because had they not done the seminar before that, about women in the industry, they might have gotten away with it a little bit more because everybody expects that, right? You go to a conference, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying you pretty much come to expect that the big players are going to have these big parties, and there are going to be women there who are booth babes, basically.
Sure. I mean, a lot of that stuff's been way cut down. Like E3 is like nothing anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff. So I don't know. Look, here's how I see it. This is something that comes up a lot, right? Mm-hmm. What is sexist? What isn't? At what point, if somebody spends all their money on makeup, facelifts, bum implants, are we supposed to not notice that they're trying to get the kind of attention those things get, for example? Like, there's a lot of questions and back and forth about this stuff. So yeah. Here's my opinion on it, okay? This is where I have a problem. When it's a bunch of dudes in a room deciding that we need to get a bunch of scantily clad babes at our party, mm-hmm. that's different than a room full of lady executives saying we need to get a bunch of scantily clad ladies at our party. You don't understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I mean?
Kind of.
It's not up. In other words, yeah. If it's me going, dude, what we need is strippers, then. Right. There are people out there who are strippers and want to be strippers, right? But it's all about who has power and who is exploiting you. That's all. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing it on your own, like this idea that women need to dress better in public or else they won't be so harassed is bullshit. Women should be able to do whatever they want.
Sure.
I don't get to choose either way. That's my point. So I shouldn't be... If this all came down to some guy named Lou at a 2 o'clock drunk meeting at Microsoft thinking they ought to have half-naked ladies... Well, then you have something to complain about. If it was a bunch, if it was just a big free for all, and the ladies were completely, autonomously in it because they want to be there, mm-hmm. well, then what's the problem? That's them making their own decision. You know what I mean? Anyway,
that makes sense.
It's a bigger topic than we probably have time for, but as you know, it's a hot topic. Right.
It is a hot topic.
It is. You can get SpongeBob T-shirts there and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Remember when Hot Topic was for like the hardcore like skater kids and the like whatever, and now it's like pop culture central in there.
Yeah. I mean, there's still stuff in the back for the emos, right? Yeah. For the all black clothing rack lifestyle.
Society will never understand me, man. let's see, Star Wars. Oh yeah, look at this here. Star Wars in the Force Awakens coming out, episode 7 there. It's pirated already. So if you want to go get your Blu-ray copy, it's pirated and available online. Don't do it though. That's not nice.
Is it really? It's really a Blu-ray. It's not somebody who smuggled a camera into the
Nope, early Blu-ray, so high def.
Oops.
Nice 1080p capture, all that.
Wow.
They leaked. And let's see, less than 2 weeks ahead of Disney's planned home video release of the blockbuster in the format, the first pirated copies of Star Wars The Force Awakens appeared online late Tuesday and within 12 hours had been downloaded 250,000 times by 250,000 people, according to the piracy news site Torrent Freak, which first reported the leak. Oh, I like the way that rhymed. Torrent Freak reported the leak. That's good.
It is good, yeah.
Disney set an April 1st release date for the home video version of the film, following by the Blu-ray on the 5th. The movie has grossed more than $2 billion worldwide.
Wow.
Lower quality cam rips of The Force Awakens already have been out there, so if you wanted all that crap, you could get that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you want that? And I think, why would you, why would you want a pirated Blu-ray copy when it's not like they sell Blu-rays for $60-$70 anymore. It's like you can get it for under 20.
Yeah,
right?
Go to Walmart.
You can get all that stuff and probably all the bonus stuff. I'm guessing that the pirated Blu-ray maybe doesn't have everything. Like if it's a double disc release or a triple disc, you probably only get...
It's usually just the film, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want all those extras and you want to see how the green screens worked and...
deleted scenes of
bodega and
the food fight.
Yeah, the food fight. That bald guy from Ex Machina in there. He's in there,
right?
You can watch all that. You can see how they really made that muffin grow because it turns out it wasn't an effect. It was an actual, it was a practical effect, not a CGI muffin. Lots of stuff to learn, really. Anyway, just be patient is all I got to say to people.
I'm gonna stay away from saying anything about Ray's muffin.
Ray's muffin? Yeah, don't talk about Ray's muffin in hushed tones. No, talk about her muffin in hushed tones.
You know, she's being looked at for Lara Croft.
Like a reboot.
Like a reboot, yep.
Yeah. Tomb Raider reboot with Ray. I think that's a fine choice. I'd be all right with that.
Works. Yeah, she's great.
No, she's good. She's got all the spunk you need for that role and got the accent.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the... the two guns on her waist. She probably can kill a dinosaur if she needs to. What else you got to do if you're Lara Croft? You got to take a real beating.
Raid a tomb?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You got to raid a tomb. You got to raid some tombs. You got to, maybe they could call it Tomb Raider with her name Ray in there, just for fans, you know? And then she needs to take a real beating because these last two games, she gets the shit kicked out of her constantly.
Does she really?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The things they put her through in those games.
I wanted to watch more of 4 O'Clock Scott when you were playing that, but I didn't. But
I put a ton on YouTube and I'm still not done. I need to get back on that. I took that trip and everything got delayed. So
Sure.
Stupid trip.
Stupid trip.
Let's see. So anyway, that's going on. And then finally in the news here, we got a lame dad joke that got a Florida man banned from Disney World for life.
Oh, no. Really?
Just a bad dad joke. Yeah, check this out. So a man in Florida said he was banned from Disney World because he joked about building a meth lab in his room, meaning his hotel room.
Okay.
According to the First Coast News, here at First Coast News, David
Swindler. Well, up there they say Swindle, and then down in the second paragraph they say Swindler.
And the best part about it is, because this is straight from the article, so if it's a typo, they did
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah.
Either way, what a shitty name.
Right.
He's either Swindle or Swindler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Michael Scheister.
Yeah. Michael P. Ripoff is, anyway, was staying at the Pop Century Resort over Labor Day weekend when he became upset with an employee who are called cast members, right? Isn't that the deal?
The plot thickens. Yeah, now we're getting a little more of the story.
Because they weren't dealing with his request to extend his room quickly enough, in a moment of frustration, Swindler, now calls him Swindler, who says Jesus comes first in his life, followed by his family, then Disney. Okay, I just want to pause here for a minute. I can't stand it when people tell me that's their priority list.
Right.
I can't do it.
And if I was his family, I'd be really ticked off. I guess you know what that is? That's Swindler's list.
Yeah, that's Swindler's list. That's the best thing ever said on this show. Swindler's list. Oh my gosh. How is that not... Brian...
Yeah,
you just had your moment. There's no going back.
Might as well pack it in. Let's make room for Jerry, who's going to be taking over.
That was really good. Well, anyway, I'm just saying, get your priorities straight. Disney shouldn't be in your top three. Family should be number one. You got a responsibility, you jackass. And if Jesus loves you, he wants you to do that first. Okay, listen to me. Let me just say something to anybody out there who claims to be a Christian and says, "Well, it's first it's Jesus, then it's my family, and then golf or whatever you're going to say."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wants you to take care of your family first.
Right, exactly.
And third should be charity or other people who need help or something else, not Disney.
Not Disney, yeah. I do, you know, Jesus wouldn't be saying to himself, "Oh, thanks, dude. That's really nice of you. I appreciate it." He's saying, No, I should be lower.
An atheist,
family.
Yeah, and listen, atheists, before you freak out and go, "Well, no, Jesus, what does it matter?" I want to slow this down and say, no, you're not. We're not here to convince somebody that their lifelong religion is wrong or that they should change their faith or any of that. That's not the point of this.
Right. We're saying that this guy openly admitted that he would run over his family to get to church on time.
Yes. There's Jesus. See ya, family. Pam, pam.
Go-gunk.
Yeah, go-gunk. And then right after that, well, no family, church is over, going to Disneyland. Like, it's jacked up. Right. It's a jacked up list. Anyway, Swindler's List.
He'd rather be sitting in the Pirates of the Caribbean next to Jesus than his wife.
Exactly. All right. So anyway, he said this. He joked that he would build a meth lab in his room in the time it would take to get some service. So basically, he's like, man, it's taking so long. I could build a meth lab in my room before you guys would get ready. That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
It turns out that it was a bad idea because it triggered a middle of the night raid by Orange County sheriff deputies and the Disney security, not to mention a lifetime ban from not just Disney World, but all Disney properties. Now, how is it Orange County sheriff if they're in?
An Orange County in Florida, too.
And it's in Disney is also in Orange County,
yeah,
in Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, lifetime ban. Sorry, buddy. Your third most important thing in your life needs to be replaced with something else.
That's right. Oh, that stinks.
It does.
So it's now Jesus, his family, and Universal Studios.
There it is. Yeah. Jesus, my family, and Seven Flags. Or what's
Six Flags?
Yeah,
Six
what did I say? Seven Flags.
Seven
Shit.
Flags. You're trying to add another flag.
Look, I'm trying to be inclusive. All right, that mysterious seventh flag needs to get in. But wait a minute, what's the other one? Not Petridge Farms. What's the one in
Knott's Berry?
Knott's Berry Farm should be his
Knott's
third.
Knott's Berry Farm remembers, and you're banned from here too.
You can't come in here, you meth addict. You Jesus loving family hating.
That seems so excessive. Although, you know. When you hear the first sentence, it's like he was banned just because he joked about building a meth lab. Well, oh, that seems unfair. And then it's like, I was angry, you know, like it probably followed a fight with the hotel staff.
Oh, I'm sure there's more to it.
Yeah.
You know how this stuff goes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it has to be. Well, anyway.
I could build a meth lab in my room in the time it would take to get some service.
alert, high alert, go to DEF CON 4, tackle him. Like, I don't think it quite worked that way.
Disney, bitch.
Yeah. I made some pretty dumb jokes in my time, but I've never had anyone raid my room in the middle.
No.
Of that. Imagine that, though. Laying there in your Disney room, just chilling, and then hands in the air. Like, oh my gosh. Everyone calm down.
Who would have thought that North Korea would come out looking like the second biggest over punishing
compared to Disney security?
Compared to Disney security, yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
15 years hard labor in the Disney Engineer Studio.
Oh my gosh, imagine. They have you have to clean out the floor, and it's a small world.
You have to clean up after the Mike Wazowski mascot.
It's awful. He shits in that thing, you know. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our own little version of Recommendals. Nicole's not here. She has some travel stuff going on, but we'll carry on without her. Then Tom's Tech Time. We got an email after that. Before all of that, though, I know Brian brought some sort of repose with him in the musical form. What do you got there?
Eric wrote in and said, "Dear Steve and Ibbotson, as I'm turning 42 on the 23rd, I was hoping to hear a cover of or by an old favorite of mine, Level 42. Mm. If not, I'll settle for a clip of Shatner singing Iron Man."
Oh, crap. He's so fast with this. Here we go.
Iron Man lives again.
It's the best thing ever. I forgot how great that is.
All day.
So good.
Sorry for that last minute request. Love the show though, Eric. And actually he sent this several days ago, so it's actually not, I wouldn't call it last minute request. Mm. Worked out perfectly. And, of course I'm happy to do it because back in the 80s and 90s, Level 42 was a huge favorite of mine. Big on Mark King, Mike Lindup, and, Running in the Family, World Machine, all that great stuff. They're still actually recording and just released on a compilation last year or the year before, a cover of Need You Tonight by NXS, covered by Level 42. So they're still recording, still touring, and man, Mark King can still slap the bass, but that's not a euphemism. How about a cover of that most popular song by Level 42 called Something About You? This one is by the Carey Brothers featuring Laura Jansen, and it's from the 2010 album Under Control. Here's the Carey Brothers.
Carved out of care, fashioned by fate, you suffer so hard for from the games played once too often. But making mistakes is a part of life's imperfection. Born over years, is it so wrong to be human after all? Draw me to the stream of undefined illusion. Those diamond dreams, they can't disguise the truth. There's something about you, baby, so right. I wouldn't be here without you, baby, tonight. If ever our love was concealed, no one could say that we didn't feel a million things and a perfect dream of life. Gone, fragile but free, we remain tender together. Not so in love, it's not so wrong. Only human after all. These changing years, they add to your confusion. Oh, and you need to hear the time that told the truth. Because there's something about you, baby, so I wouldn't be here without you, baby, tonight. Because there's something about you,
program has been classified M. It contains adult themes and nudity.
Our host is Olivia. Here's Olivia.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
The Morning Stream.
Man, give me $50. Oh my gosh, that girl. It really made me laugh. Welcome back, everybody. I love that song. I love that band.
Mm-hmm.
Level 42, dude. They were a big whoop for me back in the day. I remember thinking, does it get any better than this? I'm not so sure.
It's hard to come close, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think, for some reason my mic is, hold on. Is that me? Hello, microphone. Yeah, it's me.
Hello.
Fine. Everything's fine. Brian, we got this right here. Let's do this right here. Okay, in lieu of Nicole being here, we decided to go ahead and do recommendals, where we recommend stuff we've been watching via streaming services typically, or otherwise. Doesn't always have to be locked into that. But,
mm-hmm. Right.
We're picking kind of random, no theme today. We're saving our theme for Nicole. And we usually start this thing with you in a clippy clip. Do you want to do that? Let's do that.
Let's do me in a clippy clip, shall we?
Okay, all right. What do you got there? You want to set it up? Or you want me to just play it?
I'm going to set it up because you thought I was going to be talking about Bosch Season 2. And I still will talk about Bosch Season 2, if you'd like.
Sure.
however, this is something that Tina and I stumbled on. We had an hour where it was like, well, you know, it's an hour before bed. Let's watch something. But I don't want to. It was before Daredevil was on. And And there wasn't anything else. We didn't want to get into House of Cards and start that. We're like, let's just watch something kind of light. And so this is what we watched, and it was awesome.
Okay. Well, let's play the clip. Let's see if we can all figure out what it is.
I serve tortellini only with 6 tortellini in one line. They were walking into the broth. Can you imagine what the locals, they were thinking about us? They want me dead. You know, you cannot mess with grandmother recipe.
True tortellino is 10 to a spoonful. He wasn't even giving them a spoonful of food. But at the same time, he was saying, here are 6 tortellini. You have to respect each one.
All right. Respect the tortellini. I see.
Respect the tortellini. It seems like a complete and total dick move.
It's a, clearly a documentary.
Clearly, yes.
Trying to guess here.
You may have seen this on Netflix as an original listed on the front page as a recommendation.
Okay. Tortellini Joe. Watch him as he goes.
Tortellini man.
All right. Not that? Okay.
It is called Chef's Table.
Oh, I have seen
that. It is directed by the same guy who did Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Or Hero Dreams? Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Oh, I love that movie.
And it's great. It's just as good. And this is like an ongoing series. It's like 6 episodes in season 1. And then there's another season coming in May. And each episode focuses on a different chef. The first one, the one right there, you're hearing Massimo Bottura, who has a restaurant called Osteria Francescana in Modena, Italy.
You know what's interesting is this is not unlike, so you said this is the director that did that, Dreams of Sushi. So that was a standalone film, much acclaim, everyone loved it, it was really cool. Now, what somebody probably did, his people got with someone else's people and they said, you guys, you know what we could do? We could take that formula and we could apply it to like a series and do these in chunks and look at different kinds of sort of masters of food.
Totally.
Makes perfect sense to me. But here's the problem. You got the same thing happening with Super Size Me Man, Morgan Spurlock, and he went and did his little 30-day McDonald's deal, and his movie was fairly acclaimed. And then he's like, you know what we could do? We could do 30.
We could do a season of
called 30.
30 days,
and, yeah. 30 days, and then we could do that. Now, why does his seem like a truck stop yappity-yap, and this seems really high cool to me? It's really the same concept, but for some reason, you're describing to me a better thing than what he did.
Well, we watched his 30 days show, and it was less about, you know, the thing with the Super Size Me is that it was more like he was proving how bad this thing is for you.
Yeah.
And 30 days, the TV show felt more like dirty jobs I'll do for a month.
Yeah, that was the impression I got from it too.
Yeah, it was less.
It's like Wife Swap or whatever. That
exactly.
Show
it's not like he's gonna say, "All right, I'm gonna smoke like a chimney for 30 days for this episode," or I'm gonna, you know, it was.
It was like this lady is a very conservative person, and we're going to put her into a hippie colony where she's got to make hemp all day or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but Chef's Table is fantastic. It is gorgeous. This guy, Massimo, creates these really cool and very controversial versions of Italian food classics. Like he says, you know, the best thing with my brother and I, we would always fight over the corner piece of lasagna when my mom would make it. And so I'm doing one that's a tribute to her where it is just the crunchy corner of lasagna.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And the food, this is like complete and total food porn. And each episode self-contained. So it's like, you got an hour? Great. Throw in a Chef's Table and watch it. And I'm guaranteeing you that you will not only be hungry to eat wherever they're talking about at the end of the episode, but you'll probably look a lot closer at the food you eat and say, why am I eating this crap when I could be, you know, just making something really cool or going to a restaurant that I've never tried before and kind of experimenting and seeing something new.
Oh my gosh, my wife is going to love this show.
Yeah.
She's going to eat this up, literally. I'm stoked. This is great.
The interviews and it's a really, really good show. So Chef's Table, it's on Netflix, 6 episodes in the current season. And like I said, May, they have season 2 premiering. And it's all over the place. This one's in Italy. The next one's in New York City, Buenos Aires, Los Angeles. Goes all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that the guy that whose restaurant we ate in Japan will someday make it on this thing.
Yeah. It seemed like it would fit a little bit, doesn't it?
Kind of would. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What you described it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to play you a clip, see if you can figure out what this is. It's what I've been watching. If you watched my art stream yesterday when I created my comic, people out there listening, you may already know the answer to this, but I'm going to play it for you, see if Brian knows. Here you go.
What did you see?
Everyone was dead.
He was high.
We're going to get him in rehab.
They don't know if it's a virus or a microbe. They don't know, but it's spreading. People are killing.
Talk to your father.
We're all building a family, okay? All of us.
You like it?
We get each other.
A lot of kids out sick today. Thought you were another victim.
What the hell is happening?
Any ideas?
Wow. That sounds like something like Contagion or Hot Zone or something along those lines,
You're in the right neighborhood.
We'll is it that TV show about the people on that ship?
No ship.
Somebody in the chat room said it. That's my guess. Fear of the Walking Dead.
That's the one. Fear of the Walking Dead, which, okay, so I got to tell you, I approached this on Hulu going, most of the people I talk to who are big fans of the original show and the comic are like, it's okay. It's not really the same. Right. But then I noticed the reviews on like IMDb and other places were pretty high. And I thought, so I'm getting there's a weird dissonance going on. Do people like it or don't they like it? And I guess I went in with very I was ready to be disappointed.
Sure.
I was like Porky Pig there for a minute. What was the word I was looking for? What's the word? When you go in, you went in. Oh, you lowered expectations. That's what I meant.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So I went in there expecting nothing great. And I really like that show.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot. I'm on the final episode of the first season, which is only 6 episodes, but I'm totally into this.
New season starts in like 2 weeks, so perfect timing.
Yeah, we can get right back into it, and they're doing a full block this time, which would be good, and I love the idea of going back and looking at the origin of a lot of this stuff, with still not really knowing what started it, but, the military's still a thing, and they are bastards, and, just like trying to make sense of all of that early day stuff, utterly fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in, man. And people are like, the characters aren't you don't really care about them. Well, you didn't care about most of them in the first season of the first one either. you got to build on that. So I don't have a problem with that.
I'm excited to find out how, because they're going to have to do some sort of fan service to connect it to The Walking Dead and like have a character that you see in one that appears. And it's going to be tough to do, obviously, since this takes place in LA and Walking Dead takes place in Georgia and parts around that. So it's not like you're going to be able to say, he just hopped in a plane and flew over to Georgia because stuff's going bad all over the place. And flights are probably going to be a thing of the past pretty soon in these shows. But
I'm excited for that. I think you're right.
It's really cool.
They'll have some kind of crossover. Who knows what it'll be. But here's what I think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm most excited, Brian. They're in L.A. Mm-hmm. See if you're probably going to predict where I'm going to go with this. They're in L.A., and at the final part of that first season, they're getting the hell out of Dodge.
Yes.
And they're going east. Let me think about what's immediately east of L.A. if you take the right road. Oh, I know. My favorite post-apocalyptic setting, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
That means I will bet we're going to get a ton of storyline in Vegas, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of desert time, which is where my favorite time is spent.
Of course.
Yep. Love me some desert and love me some heat, some hot, nasty zombies in the heat. I am all in on where it goes.
I would love to see it go to Las Vegas. I would love to see what would happen zombie-wise in Las Vegas, because I think that you'd actually end up with 100,000 zombies still hitting the button to respin and respin and respin.
Wait a minute. I think they're there now that you say it.
So it's like, I don't know, no brains. I'm getting what I want right here. This is, I've almost got it. Oh, I missed the bonus by brains.
One spin. On semi going, I'm going to go, I'm going to cover myself in like cigarette smell and they won't even notice me. I'll just kind of walk past them like Rick with guts all over him. But the
idea of going there and then what the people have to deal with there and the kinds of people and who's in charge, like you can go crazy with this.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm very bullish on it. I think it's going to be a strong deal, and I don't know why I went in with such low expectations. I guess I don't know. You know how it is. It's like a spinoff is a thing that's hard to sell to people who are like sold on the thing they love. And so I'm impressed, and it's already a known factor that I love these sorts of things anyway, so I'm in. There's your recommendals.
Yeah, good stuff. And the acting, the actors that are in this are great too. The main lady who we've seen, she's a character actor who's been in like a million things.
Yeah, Kim Dickens.
Kim Dickens.
Kim
right.
Dickens is a great name. She was in. You still haven't seen her in it, but she runs the
Deadwood
brothel part of Deadwood.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah,
she's fantastic in that. Really good.
She's also a one of the detectives in Gone Girl, which was really good too.
Oh, I still haven't seen that. I didn't see that movie.
It's worth seeing. Yeah,
I have a Fincher rule that I usually see all Fincher movies, but didn't see that one for some reason. I think I was not in the mood for a depressing murder story thing. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Valid. It's a valid concern.
But now I'm in the mood.
Now you're in the mood for a depressing.
I need more murder stories because that's how we deal with ourselves when sad things are happening in the news. All right. Let's call Tom Merritt.
Okay, cool.
Whoops.
We'll have to find out if Tom Merritt managed to snag a PlayStation VR before they sold out.
Yeah, that's going to be... I didn't get it either. I wanted to, but I didn't realize they were going to go so quick. I'm sure that they'll be available at some point. I
mean, yeah.
Sony's going to make a bundle on this, dude.
I think so. It's the right price point and...
Yep. They're going to have a market that's already sitting there with machines ready to play it, mm-hmm. capable of playing it. Like... Here's what I expect while we wait for Tom. I suspect it's going to break down like this. The mainstream audiences and the mainstream adoption will be on the Sony side, and obviously the emphasis will be very much video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then these other two are going to give us some of the weirdest, strangest experiences because some crazy developer had an idea and he can do it on a platform that's open and not closed down. You know what I mean? So you're going to get weird shit on PC,
right?
And you're going to get mass market on the PlayStation. All this and more coming up after I hit this button.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is the blue shirt wearing Tom Merritt.
The blue what wearing?
The blue shirt.
Shirt. There was an R in there, Brian.
Shirt. Not shit. Shirt is what I meant to say. Tom Merritt.
Although I was taking care of my neighbor's cats and might have been...
He's in that Avatar sequel. Might be.
You're a nice neighbor. Help him say watch their
that
cats.
Is nice.
Yeah. Are they out of town or something?
The cats missed the litter box. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
No, they're not out of town. They just like to sleep in. They're really lazy
too.
Yeah. It's just wafts through the window, and Tom can't take it anymore. I understand. Right. Tom Merritt is here. He's here every Wednesday talking about the technology news of the day. Later today at 2:30 Mountain Time, we do an episode of DTNS that I am on. I love Wednesdays, and excited to do that with Tom. Later, but what's crackling, man? Certainly isn't very exciting Apple events. That one was a bore job. But
it depends on what you mean by Apple events. If you're talking about the press conference on Monday, tend to agree. Yeah. If you're talking about the FBI suddenly saying, hey, some Israeli firm just gave us the ability to get into the phone, so we're postponing the trial, yeah. That one's kind of more interesting.
It is a little more interesting, but I do. So I got a quick question about that. When... Can they do that where they just, I guess they can because they are, but it's like this very intense sort of heat on this subject and this conversation ever since it was brought up and Tim Cook getting on TV and talking about why he believes that it's in their interest and our interest to keep security there and not let them do this and boom, 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 every day. And then suddenly the FBI goes, oh, wait a minute. We got a guy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Guy in the back raised his hand. Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, we found a guy in Israel. He'll do it. His, you know, Benjamin, whatever his name is, he'll come and take care of it. It's fine. We're just going to delay this now. Like, I don't know. It just feels so weirdly, not anticlimactic, but just kind of a, I don't know. It's like serious, serious, serious. And then, oh, I farted. I got to leave. Like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Well, it's because there was so much discussion about the moral side of it, right? Or the security side of it, as opposed to the technology side of it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as somebody raised their hand and says, I can do the technology side of it, all of a sudden, all of those, well, at least they get pushed to the back burner, those moral questions and security questions and things like that.
Sure.
Well, and I think this is a little bit of our own fault. We talked about this with Patrick Beja yesterday. If you have made up a narrative in your own head,
right,
that precluded the FBI from coming up with an alternative way to get into the phone, then you're shocked and you're angry and you're surprised. But the FBI, if you look at what it said, not what you thought it was believing, but what it said was, we have exhausted all alternatives. You know, we and James Comey, even in testimony to Congress, said, if anybody does know a way to get into this phone, we're all ears, but nobody has come forward yet. Mm. If you're like, now, granted, everybody's like, yeah, sure, buddy, you're just saying that. But what if it were true? This is what would happen,
yeah.
Which is nobody figured it out until now when this company, Cellebrite, says, hey, you know, we've been working on this and we think we got it down. Let's show it to you Sunday. And Sunday, the FBI goes, huh, yeah, that looks like it might work. We should probably take 2 weeks to test it. And goes to the judge and is like, we might have another way, which case we don't need to do this. Can we put a stay on the order and just suspend the trial temporarily? Just in case it doesn't work, we're not going to withdraw our case. But it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless you have assigned other motivations to things.
No, I completely agree.
And I don't think it actually changes the moral argument, which is, should Apple be forced to create software that breaks into a phone, which is what the case was about? And then the larger conversation, which the case really was only implicating, that the case wasn't about this, which is, should there be a way for law enforcement to get into encrypted devices? And I think that conversation certainly is far from over.
Oh, yeah. We're not done with that. But okay, yeah, you know, I completely agree with you. We're all seeing this through the lens of other people's reactions, the way the media reports it and everything else. And we're creating our own story. And so we're seeing it through this whatever filter. This is the hard part about it. I'm trying to remember. Was it the FBI who told me that Apple is doing a dangerous thing here by not complying? Or was that a politician who said
both the FBI in, and again, don't forget, it's the U.S. Department of Justice that is prosecuting the case on behalf of the FBI.
Yeah.
And so I think it was the Deputy Attorney General actually is the one who wrote the briefing that said, you know, Apple is endangering things by resisting this order, because they are trying to persuade a judge that what Apple is asking for is not okay.
Mm.
And remember, this is a judge that they already convinced to issue the order. I think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Is that the judge issued an order compelling Apple to do this, and Apple had the right to say, well, hold on, we get to respond to that order. Mm-hmm. But the order was issued. Now the order has been stayed, so that's a little different. But this was the judge going, well, I think the FBI is right. You should do this. What, do you have any reason why that I'm missing why I shouldn't? And so the FBI is pushing like, no, any reason they come up with would be, you know, would be endangerment and stuff, trying to sway the judge to stay on that side of the argument. So there's also people in public, and FBI Director James Comey among them, implying that Apple is unpatriotic or immoral for even resisting this, to which Apple said, well, hold on. We get the right to resist things in court if we think they're wrong. And Apple made it very clear that if the judge said you have to do this, Apple would do it.
Right. Now, so this leads to my question. If they, let's say the FBI gets, would you call them event? What are they? Cellebrite? Good Lord.
Yes.
All right. That's a terrible
name. Apparently this has been an ongoing contractor with the FBI. So it's no surprise that you know, the wheels were greased here for Cellebrite to go, hey, we figured it out. Yeah. And the FBI to look at it very quickly.
Yeah, they didn't find them on Reddit or something. They knew who these guys were, which makes sense. Okay, so let's say
this is a forensics company.
Sure. So let's say they do their good work and they get in there and then they pop it, and the FBI comes back and goes, all right, we're dropping the thing. The Justice Department says, okay, cool. Is there any precedence, though, for them to keep pushing because they want a precedent set where Apple has to be compelled to do this in the future?
Not in this case. That's one for the side that's like, well, wait a minute. The FBI was trying to make an example of Apple, but they kind of got, with Cellebrite coming forth, they couldn't lie and say they didn't have an alternative method. So they had to, in good faith, put a stay on the order. And if this works, they have to drop this case.
Right.
They can't tell the judge, well, we have another way in, but we want to just keep fighting this anyway, right?
Yeah.
They have to drop this case. But as we know, there's plenty of other cases that they could try to push forward if they wanted to create a precedent in some other setting. But they have to find a case where they really have no other way to get into whatever it is they're trying to get into.
I'm convinced you can't find better commentary on the internet about these issues and more than the Daily Tech News Show.
Well, thank you.
Which is daily and a tech news show.
It is.
It is the most truth in advertising name.
It's daily. It's tech. It's mostly news.
Yeah.
Show.
You could have called yourself Tech Dude or something, but you didn't because it's daily and it's a tech show and it's super honest. And yeah. I like that.
I thought to myself, self, what's a placeholder name that you can get rid of that no one has registered?
The and Daily Tech News Show. And as it turns out, you were right because it rolls off the tongue. It has a great acronym. Yeah. It's it looks good on my mug that I drink from frequently.
Hey, yeah, I like that mug. Yeah,
it's good. It's a great mug.
Get that mug at the store.
That mug right there, you should get one of his. And that's the one that we sold out of our TMS 1000 episode commemorative mug is based on that
style. Is it that same design? Same, yeah. This is a great. Yeah, I love this.
Very similar style. So we're stoked about that.
Do we ever hear from Sales Geek if he put two of them aside for us?
He's still being Florida man this weekend, so I haven't heard back, but I'm sure that two of them got held. I hope so.
He's rapidly ordering two more to be made.
How much would it cost to do two more of these?
That's a good impression of Dave.
Yeah.
It's kind of George Lucas meets
him. Yeah, it kind of was, actually, yeah.
So today, 2:30, Daily Tech News Show. I'll be there. Tom will be there. We have a guest today. What are we doing today? We got anything
to do? No, it's just us. But one other topic that I've been looking at this morning is the RIAA putting out the overall record industry revenues in the United States for 2015 and how they're being divided up between streaming and all of that. So I was going to throw that out there as a possible. It'll definitely be in the headlines. Might be a topic. If only we knew someone who had been working in music, digital music on the internet for 10 years.
Yeah,
or
I don't even know who we'd even approach that knows something about that at all. Like
we've had to deal with licensing music and pod safe music.
Yeah, like Seek. He's still making a face like he knows we're not talking to him. But yeah, if we only knew a guy. With a bald head and a daredevil hat on right now.
I'll keep looking.
Yeah.
CSAC, BMI.
No, that's an interesting thing. I guess I read somewhere late last night in my newsfeed that that for the first time ever, revenue or more music streamed or got paid for streaming than gets bought or something.
Streaming is now the largest part of revenue for the record industry, 34%.
That's so fast. It feels like that was almost overnight in business terms. Like that just went really quick to me for some reason. I know they've been chipping at it for a long time, but I don't know. I thought that would never happen. I don't know why I thought that. I just thought it would always sort of be one of the all ways you could get music, but it would never be the chief way. Maybe not. Maybe it's
As you and I talk about all this crap that we've got to get rid of in our lives, I've got a whole room full of CDs. I mean, obviously, there's between CDs and streaming, there's just downloadable music, but still, there's all that storage.
You should launch Coverville Streaming. It's the hot new thing, Brian. Everyone's streaming their music.
Radio.coverville.com, as a matter of fact.
See? Now you just need an app and millions of dollars of investment.
But apparently, you're the problem, Brian. Because what Carrie Sherman, the head of the RIAA, is saying is these companies that just do ad-supported streaming are underperforming and robbing creators. He didn't say robbing, but like that is
food out of the mouths of Well, mine's not ad-supported. Does that help?
I think that makes it worse. I'm not sure.
It does. There's no money. I'm paying royalties.
Listen, your stream is Todd supported. That's what we have to say. Yes. Yeah. You can't get sued for that, as far as
that's
I know.
That's right.
Well, anyway, I'm anxious to talk more about that and anything else that is on the plate today. So, Tom, anything else you'd like to mention?
I have a book up on Inkshares.com as of Sunday. It's a science fiction book about a time traveler trying to save the universe from destruction. It's called Pilot X. The way Inkshares works is it's kind of Kickstarter meets a publisher. Like they are a real publisher with editors and promotion department and everything. And if you can get enough people to pre-order your book, they'll publish it.
Wow.
So if you're at all interested, I would love to have your pre-order. Head over to Inkshares.com, search Pilot X.
I love the name Pilot X. It has a 1930s Saturday matinee serial quality
totally
to it.
Does.
Pilot X.
I love that.
Gather around the Victrola and listen to it.
That's right.
He pilots a time ship and he just wants to tool around in his time ship Verity. Mm-hmm. But he keeps getting pulled into political intrigue by his own government. Then he finds out that his own government may not be as defensible as he thought, as moral as he thought. And there's a three-way time war going on. So it's a mess for poor Pilot.
Ripped from today's headlines. Anyway, it's always good to have you on, Tom. I will see you a little bit later. So will the rest of you, because please watch it. Tom Merritt, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
See you.
See you.
Ace Detect on Twitter.
It's like having the good version of Georgia McFly as part of our group, isn't it?
I kind of agree. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We got one email before we leave.
Sure.
And also a mention of a Kickstarter after that, so don't forget. Here's the deal. I got an email. It's a short one. It's from Terry T. I'm going to assume that's not Terry Tate or anyone famous. He says, "What's the dumbest thing you ever did in high school? Both of you. We must know," says Terry T. So, Brian, I've done some thinking because I got this email and thought about it.
If you've got one ready, you go first.
Probably the dumbest thing I did. He said high school, right? So not just like school. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
or she. Might be she.
Might be she, right. That Terry. Yeah. Terry with a T-I.
Terry with an I, yeah.
That's usually a lady, isn't it?
Usually, yeah.
I don't know. See, now someone thinks that's sexist because I said that just now. Goes back to our earlier conversation.
Right.
Boundaries.
Has she been to any Xbox conferences lately?
Right. Then we can say. And did the man tell her to go there or not? Then we can say.
Right.
All right. I'm going to say high school. Probably when I stole all the clocks in the school. I ran around with a friend and we stole all of the clocks from all the walls. And then we stashed them in our locker. Oh, no, you know what? That's not the dumbest thing. Sorry, back it up. Boop, boop, boop. Okay. Dumbest right. thing we did was related or similar. And it was kind of, oh, my gosh. Now I'm like six things are jumping to my head. But easily the dumbest thing was my friend Dan and I, Mark and a couple other guys, we got his Dan's truck and we filled it full of sandbags. Okay, so bags filled with sand usually used for like flooding and things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We had the way our school worked, it was a big circular school, still is, and they're about to demolish it actually and start over, but it's not up to earthquake code or something. But anyway, back in the day, it's this circle thing, and all the halls are circular. So it's a big, it's like Apple's new super building.
Like their new campus, right?
Yeah, except not as cool and not as power efficient. Anyway, so you had, the lockers were on the inside walls, and they just wrapped around the whole thing. So there was no stairs really in our school, and even the lower basement. Area where the cafeteria and the gym were and everything, to get up to the upper floor where it circled, it was just a ramp. There was no stairs. It was just like a long cement ramp. And so he had this bright idea that like second to last day of school or something, senior year, to back his truck, to fill that thing full of sandbags, and then to back it up as fast as he could through that receiving area and up the ramp, park it, in the school, mind you, while class is going on, everyone's in class, make sure nobody's around to see it, parks the car, parks the thing, we all hop out, throw a tarp out in front of a bunch of lockers, and some of the people we were with had lockers in that zone there.
Right.
And so we brought tarps, which in the end didn't really help, but then we took all these sandbags, ripped them open, and then dumped sand all over the tarp so that we created basically a small beach up there.
Oh, no.
Then the lockers came open, fling, and we had two boom boxes. And I don't know why we had two, but we only played one. Oh, one had beach sounds like waves. And the other one played Beach Boys music.
Okay, perfect.
Someone else plugged in, because there were plugs in the hall. Somebody pulled out of their locker a margarita maker blender and started making like margarita slushy virgin margaritas.
How is this the dumbest thing you ever did? This sounds like the greatest thing you ever did in high
school. It was the greatest and dumbest, because it just about got us all like not to graduate, and we got in big trouble for this. So we laid all this stuff out. And then they had deck chairs that came out that folded out. Mm-hmm. And Dan ripped off his shirt and pulled his pants down. He had just like a little swimsuit on. And just everyone laid out on this thing. And then the bell rings. And then everyone gets out of class to see this beach going on in the middle of the hallway.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was probably... We got in big trouble for that.
Oh, man.
Probably the dumbest thing we did. And the coolest thing
that's
we did.
That's fantastic, though. My God.
Do you have one?
I do, and mine falls more on the dumbest thing I did in high school. So I was dating a girl named Lynette, and it's a name you don't hear these days anymore, right?
Not very often,
Lynette?
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She and I have dated throughout high school, so like years we were together. And also throughout high school, and this will be no surprise to anybody, I constantly had a Walkman with me, always had a Walkman on and had the headphones around my neck or in class, I'd have them on if I was allowed to wear them in class, like art class. I could wear the headphones throughout the whole thing. And then sometimes in other classes for other things. And Lynette asked if she could borrow it during like fourth period or something. And of course I said yes. And she said, okay, I'll just put it in your locker when I'm done. I'm like, okay, no problem. And she knew that, you know, this was like the list, my list went Lynette, Walkman, family, Jesus, Disney.
All right. I like where the Walkman is in that for some reason. It's right. A nice position.
So she borrows it for fourth period. She had the combo to my locker, so she automatically put it back in there. And I think I had fifth period off or something, but I went back to my locker, grabbed it. And then we hooked up back again later on in the day. And she says, oh, did you get your Walkman? I left it in your locker. I said, oh, no, I was going to ask you, did you still have that? She's like, oh, my God, no, I put it in your locker. And I kept up this whole charade that she put it in there or lost it or forgot or didn't lock the locker closed or something like that.
Sure.
And had her, you know, just completely going.
Yeah.
And finally said, no, I've got it here in my jacket. And she took two steps back.
Oh, no.
And then she took two giant steps forward and kicked me in the shin as hard as she could.
I'm having a hard time feeling too bad for you, though.
Yeah. I mean, as well you shouldn't. It was like, I think it would have been funnier if I would have just stopped after the first, like, oh my God, no, really? And then let her in. But I think I kept it going way too long. And so the fear of her, you know, of that she lost this prized possession of mine, my Walkman of all things.
Yeah. I thought she was going to kick you in the monkey, like right in the noodle.
Yeah, she, you know, maybe it's certainly possible that she missed. She was going to kick me in the monkeys, and
wow. And then,
so, but we were fine after that. Didn't break up or anything, and
oh, good.
Yeah,
that's but, good.
Holy cow, that's still, I look back at like one of the dumbest things I did in high school.
Well,
sure.
And it's a good, we both had examples like in high school, like in,
yes,
it happened
in the actual
premises.
School itself. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is important. If we're going to make a John Hughes movie about either of these experiences, it has to be in the school. Now there's plenty of really dumb stuff I did outside the premises. So
yes.
If we're getting into that territory, just forget about it. Cause I got stuff I can tell you, but not today. I did tell you the story once about the same guy, Dan, who went to ladies' night at Xenon, this dance club.
Yeah.
And did I tell you about the time where we were in the urinals at first? Yeah, Xenon, dude. That's totally what it was.
No.
And you had to be 18 to get in, but we were like 16 and looked old enough, I guess. We always got in. But we were at the urinals. I think I've told this story. I swear I have. But we're peeing, and it's me on the, I guess the right, then Dan in the middle, and then a guy in like all this leather on the other side of Dan.
Okay.
And we always had this joke where we'd nudge each other while we're trying to pee if we're next to each other.
Right, to make you miss. And
yeah,
stuff like,
and yeah. So I went, elbowed him in the arm, and he just went, and just peed all over this guy. This
all
guy
over
in leather.
Leather up.
Yep, and we ran like banshees, just, because he was pissed and F-bombing up and down, and his friends were with him now. And so we ran out the parking lot. We got in the crappy car and drove the hell out of there and spent like, I don't know, $8 to get in for nothing. It sucked. Anyway,
just to use the bathroom.
Yep. There's times we stole bowling balls and bowling shoes and then wore the bowling shoes to graduation. Oh my gosh. Anyway, wow. Lots of stories. Let's get out of here. Big thanks to everybody for being here. Support us over at patreon.com/TMS. If you would, you can get in the super secret Slack. You can enjoy many benefits of being a member, and it doesn't cost you hardly a thing. Patreon.com/TMS for details. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. Leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462, and email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Before we go, you have a Kickstarter in the works.
Oh, I do.
In the workings, already going on. What's going on?
Me and Hammond Chamberlain want to do a podcast, and it's called Soundography. We do one band for the whole show, talk about their history, their formation, where they got their name, all that stuff, and even give you a list at the end with each of our picks for the five best songs you need to listen to, and you basically get a playlist. If you're not familiar with the band, you leave the show with a playlist of like, all right, these are the 10 songs I need to go check out. It's called Soundography. If you go to Kickstarter and do a search for Soundography, I'm also going to do a little bit.ly or something like that soon. I haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hammond, get on that, man. Come on.
Yeah, come
what are we
on,
waiting
dude.
For? But please support it. It's a cheap, cheap Kickstarter, inexpensive, and there's lots of great stuff you can get. So check it out, kickstarter.com. Do a search for Soundography. It's a domain I bought way back in 2006, and I'm finally doing something with it.
That's great. That's old. That's 10
it
years
is
old.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Do check that out. over on Kickstarter. Let's get out of here with some music of your picking. What do you got there?
Well, it's not my picking, sadly. It's another person's picking. Right. Hello, Scott and Brian. Long-time listener, first-time requester. I don't know how many people out there know of Within Temptation and how many of them know about the cover album they released in 2012 called The Q Music Sessions. This band has been such an influential part of my troubled life that I'd like to share them with anyone that hasn't heard of them. To that end, I'd like to request their cover of Radioactive, though their cover of Behind Blue Eyes, Apologize, Let Her Go, or Don't You Worry, Child would also work, Brian's discretion. I heard a rumor that you've got Scooter's pro boner. Is that true?
Oh my gosh, you want two here? All right, how about this one?
We got Scooters.
No, that's not it.
Oh, that was a good one. We got
Scooters.
No, no.
We got Scooters.
Why can't I find the real one? That's weird. It's been so long, maybe I don't have... Yeah. Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. Here we go.
We got Scooters.
No, more kids. I don't know where that one is. All right, and then the other one was, what was it?
Pro boner.
Oh, yeah. Wait, where in the hell is that? Oh, my gosh. They really digging deep.
Do a search for boner.
Yeah, boner. Oh, you should see, how many things came up. Here we go.
Who are you supposed to be? Boner Man?
No, that's not it.
Ferguson is currently serving...
No.
Don't tell me you pulled any other boners.
I can't find it. All right. I tried. I don't know where they are. This may have been all before my hard drive switch, but anyway.
Love the show. Insert witty rhyme here, Aaron. Mm. So it's funny because we played this before, but I still went back to this one, Radioactive, because it is a great cover. And this whole Q Music Sessions album is fantastic. They do, like Aaron mentioned, they do covers of Behind Blue Eyes, Apologize by One Republic, Let Her Go, Don't You Worry, Child. Also, Titanium by David Guetta and Sia, Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. Really, really good cover album or EP. You can't buy it digitally, I don't think. I think you have to get the EP physically or use alternative methods to get it, but it's worth picking up. This is their cover of Imagine Dragons' Radioactive. It's Within Temptation, and it rocks.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow on Therapy Thursday and all the other Thursday goodness. Come on back for that now, you hear?
To the new age.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
How many languages do you speak?